Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk. When Texas passed their SB 8 law, that was the abortion law, the fetal heartbeat law, and it basically said if you know of somebody that is performing an abortion, or if you know of somebody that's had an abortion, or if you know of somebody that works at an abortion clinic, or if you know of somebody that gave someone a ride to an abortion clinic, or if you know of someone that sold a tie to a doctor who performed an abortion, or if you know of somebody that changed the tires on the Uber that took somebody to an abortion, you could sue them for having that abortion. And the real kicker on the Texas law is that the lawsuit had to be covered by the people that were sued. At least they couldn't ask for attorney fees. It also didn't have to be somebody from Texas. So, in fact, I believe it was the first case that was brought was somebody from Indiana that was saying they were going to sue people in Texas for having an abortion. They didn't even have to have evidence. Basically, you accuse someone of having an abortion, you file a civil suit for $10,000, and then the person that's been accused has to prove that they didn't. And even if they're successful, they still have to pay their lawyers, and they have to pay their own court fees. There was no downside to somebody filing the lawsuit in Texas over abortion. Well, then Roe v. Wade got overturned by the Supreme Court, and all of that... It goes to the wayside. Doesn't really matter. But we saw it playing out. And we knew how ridiculous it was. And anybody that was commenting on this at all said, well, I take that back. You're going to have some of the hard right wingers that are like, this is great. We're going to end abortion and save lives. But anybody else was able to say, this looks like a real slippery slope, doesn't it? What happens when you have a liberal state that employs the exact same legislative process to more liberal causes? At the time, I even said, what happens if California decides we're going to do the same thing with guns? And then California did the same thing with guns. Now, I don't know if Governor Batman was listening to my show. I was on in San Francisco numerous times during this entire Texas SB 8 debate. And brought this up. I don't know that Governor Newsom was listening. I don't know if he was hanging out at Wayne Manor in the Batcave, or maybe just driving home from the French Laundry after a nice birthday dinner and listening to me on the RADIO and thought, that's genius. I'll get a hold of my people and we'll get that set. But that's exactly what he did. That's what he did. So SB 1327 goes into effect now, is in effect in California. It authorizes anyone other than the state or local government officials to sue people who violate the state's laws against the manufacture, distribution, or sale of assault weapons, ghost guns, and other banned firearms. Lawsuits could also be brought against gun dealers who violate the state's law against selling or transferring weapons, other than hunting rifles, to anyone under 21 years old. So, this becomes a bounty hunt, basically. And frankly, I'm a bit disappointed in California for going through with it. I'm not disappointed in California for bringing this up in the first place, because I felt like this needed to be done. This sort of performative legislation needed to be done to send a message to the people that were supporting the Texas law. But I don't want to see it go into effect. And here's why. The state is in charge of enforcing. The enforcement does not fall on the people, right? We have the legislative, the judicial, and the executive branch, right? Legislative branch makes the laws, judicial branch interprets the law, executive branch enforces the law. The basic civics. We learned all this stuff in like third grade. But now what we're doing is we're saying, aha, let's take the responsibility of the executive branch, of law enforcement, of investigators, and let's put it on people who've decided that they're going to go spying on their neighbors. I don't like that at all. We did have one judge that struck down an aspect of the law. U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez in San Diego said that the fee-shifting provision that would have saddled gun industry litigants with all or part of the court costs from any suit challenging the state's gun controls, even if they prevailed in court. State Attorney General's office had refused to defend it, having argued that the Texas fee-shifting provision on which it was based was unconstitutional. So as I pointed out, if you're in Texas and you get sued for providing an abortion, having an abortion, eating eggs, whatever, anything that was abortion related, and you had to defend yourself in court, you couldn't ask for attorney fees. It was on you. Part of that plan in Texas, I believe, was to have lawsuits pile up against abortion providers, and that even if the abortion providers can't be found guilty because they're not allowed to share patient information or something of that sort, that they would be broken financially. Similarly, we've got California saying, okay, well, let's just have people sue all the gun manufacturers until those gun manufacturers are bust. Let's just do that. District court judge said, no, you guys know that's unconstitutional. You thought it was unconstitutional when Texas did it, and now you put a law into effect. It's unconstitutional still. So struck that down. So that's been taken away. That was a major hangup. I don't like this idea of people being asked to spy on their neighbors, to sue their neighbors, or to be legal vigilantes, basically. LA Times reporting, Californians who buy assault weapons cannot be sued under the new law. But if you buy a ghost gun kit, or more technically, a firearm precursor part that isn't federally regulated, you could be liable. Yeah, and I'm assuming if you're printing them on your 3D printer, that would be a no-no, too. People who knowingly engage in conduct that helps someone violate these restrictions could also be sued, even if they didn't know the person they were helping was going to violate the law. So, too, could suits be brought against anyone who sells, offers, or transfers unregulated gun precursor parts. And again, if you can't print a gun part, give it to a friend who will then sell it to someone else, that you can't do that. It goes down the chain. So that's part of the law. So what happens? According to the law, any act or omission that violates the structures of SB 1327, that's a new gun law in California, constitute an injury to all residents of and visitors to this state. So you can sue even if you weren't directly harmed. You can sue even if nobody suffers any actual physical injury or financial harm. In other words, everyone has standing. This is problematic as well. Suppose somebody has one of these firearms that we're talking about. Suppose they have a ghost gun and they drive by your house. Are you affected by that? No. Were you harmed by that? No. Did anything in your life change because somebody else has a ghost gun? No. Was the ghost gun used in the commission of a crime? No. Do you pick your nose and eat your goobers? Yes. Well, then you can sue. Whatever the reason, you can sue. As long as you suspect somebody of doing something wrong, you can sue them, even if that means booger eating. I don't really know what that has to do with anything. I just thought we'd throw it in there as how ridiculous the law is that you can sue somebody and they have to defend themselves. You don't have to have a personal connection to the violation. You just have to be able to prove that it took place. So, for example, again from the LA Times, you could learn about an apparently illegal sale of an assault weapon to a California buyer by reading a newspaper story about a shooting and then use court documents and other public records to try to make your case against the seller. Yeah. So, you're reading your Bakersfield Daily, and you happen to see that some farmer held a gun to another farmer who was on his land, and you go, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what kind of gun that was. So you go and you look up your court records, and you find out that it was an assault weapon that has been banned, or had a magazine that had too many rounds in it, and you go, oh, they violated the law. And you use the court records from that complaint as your evidence. You don't know the farmer. You don't even know how to get to Bakersfield. You don't know where the Bakersfield court is. It doesn't matter. You read it. You Googled it. You found enough information to bring a lawsuit. You sue. The farmer has to defend themselves. And you come away $10,000 richer simply because you followed up on reading a newspaper article. How does that make this a better state? How does that make us safer? All it does is it pits us against our neighbors. It doesn't make anybody safer. It just makes us look as ridiculous as Texas did. And we called Texas out for looking ridiculous. There's better ways, friends. I have a feeling most of this will be struck down in court, but not before there's a bunch of lawsuits and a bunch of people who are screaming about it. Get ready. 2023 is going to be the year of gun lawsuits in California. All right. I am going to tell you how not to money. Next, Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app. Quick heads up here. We're going to do news with Mark at 5:30, and then after that, Jane Wells, who you've heard on KFI numerous times, is going to join me to talk about the right way to die. So I feel like that ought to be good. Probably the best way to go. Here's how not to. Okay. We're going into the new year and you're trying to figure out what kind of changes can I bring about in my life that will make things better? Might I recommend, you're not going to want to hear this, but might I recommend avoiding debt? And I know you just got through Christmas and you just racked up a bunch of debt on your credit cards and you got to pay all that stuff off. I know. But what if, follow me here, what if you went on a money diet for a year? All right? No. Just like with a food diet, you still have to eat food and you can even have a cheat day. But let's just figure out a little money diet for a year. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you don't have any debt and that's fantastic. You've been dieting. You don't have to worry about it. All right. But maybe you got a little bit of debt. Maybe you just built some debt up from your credit cards. What if this year you were to work to pay off the debt you just piled up from Christmas, pay off some other debt without using your credit cards to buy more stuff? What if you just did that for a year? Just give it a shot. I got to tell you, it feels pretty good when you don't have a whole bunch of more debt piling up on your credit card. If you are, listen, I still use my credit card. And then I pay it off at the end of the month. And it sounds so obvious, right? For those of you that have been doing this a while, duh. For those of you that haven't, you go, yeah, that's what I would like, but then we still do it anyway. I'm with you. My wife and I decided to do, we had some austerity measures. We went on a hardcore diet, and we were able to get our debt paid off. And I got to tell you, you charge stuff on your credit card, and at the end of the month, you pay that off. So maybe your credit card, we buy a lot of stuff on the credit card. We get the points, whatever, right? So let's say you get to the end of the month, credit card bill is $600, and you pay that off. That's a whole lot better than when we had thousands of dollars of debt on the credit card. We'd pay $600, and only $200 of it would go to the actual principal. It just felt like we were spinning our tires. So I was a bit concerned when I ran across the story that Fox 11 had it on their website. And it was talking about Walt Disney World, not land, but world. And they did a study there at LendingTree, found that 18% of the customers they surveyed went into debt during a visit to Disney World. The research found that parents with kids under the age of 18 were most likely to pick up this additional expense. They also found that the pricey dining options and ticket prices at the park were higher than what many people had initially anticipated or budgeted for. We've all run into that when you walk into the amusement park, right? The average cost for a one-day single park ticket for adults and kids ages 10 and older from November 22 to October 23 will be $141.74. That's a one-day single park ticket is nearly $150. I'm an old fart because I always feel like the price to get in ought to be about 10 bucks. But no, it's a whole lot more. And so if you got a family of four, just walking into that park is going to cost you $600. The cost of a Disney World vacation for a family of four consisting of two adults, one child age 10 or older, and one child age 3 to 9. Okay, this is a Disney vacation now. And we're talking about you're going to have to pay for hotel and dining and everything else. But your vacation was $5,731 in 2022, which is just shy of $300 per person per night. Wow. So what if on your 2023 debt diet, you were to put off your trip to Disney? Or maybe you save up $6,000. Right? Save up the $6,000 and then pay for it outright instead of putting it on a card. It seems so dumb, but it's amazing how much your life flips when all of a sudden you're paying, when you have money to pay for things versus getting things and then trying to pay them off later. It, again, it seems so simple, but the emotional relief is mind-boggling. Something I'm just discovering here in the last couple of years. Just let me share that with you, how much better it feels. So if you're in that situation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're not, you long for it. Go get it. Go get it. Could be worse, though. You could have a ton of money and then just piss it all away. Imagine if you were the wealthiest person in the world. Just imagine being that rich and then just pissing it all away. Elon Musk has become the first person ever to lose $200 billion. Musk previously became the second person ever to amass a fortune of more than $200 billion. He did that January 2021. Jeff Bezos was the first to do it. He had $340 billion at his peak, November 2021. He had $340 billion. Now, Musk is worth $137 billion. I mean, we could say that he's lost $300 billion if we wanted to. We're in that ballpark right now. Based on the numbers that are being reported, he's lost $300. But he's certainly lost $200 billion. He held the title of the world's richest person up until last month, and then he was knocked off by the CEO of French luxury giant LVMH. Is that the Louis Vuitton people? Is that what the LVMH is, guys? Do you know? Bernard Arnault is now the wealthiest person. Tesla shares taking a hit this year. Stock's down 65% as of December 30th. Tesla also recently announcing a price slash in several of the models. He also paid $44 billion for Twitter, which is now worth... So, yeah, he lost over $200 billion, you could argue. No, I guess it would be $200 billion. Excuse me, I said $300. It's $200 billion. See, math is bad for me, which is why I should never go into debt. There is upside, though, for Elon Musk, for you Musketeers. Tesla saying today they sold a record 1.3 million vehicles last year. That's big. However, Elon Musk keeps saying they're going to sell more, and then he doesn't. He pledged to grow the company's sales by 50% nearly every year. That didn't really happen. 2022 figure topped the prior record of 936,000 vehicles that were delivered in 2021, but it was shy of the 1.4 million needed to reach that goal of 50% growth. Still, pretty close. That's pretty great. What happens when recession hits? That's where it starts to hurt more. And, need I remind you, Tesla hasn't put out a new model in a while. So, as we know in the auto industry, when things get stale, sales start to dip. All right, Jane Wells is going to join me here in the next segment, our CNBC special correspondent, and also you hear on KFI on occasion, doing some of the Lord's work, filling in. She's going to talk to us about the best way to die and then move forward. Next, Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
I was perusing the news stories today and saw that New York has just become the sixth state in the union to allow for human composting. They prefer if the human being composted is deceased first. Joining me to discuss is Jane Wells, our CNBC special correspondent. And, of course, you hear Jane on KFI often. Jane, great to talk with you again. I haven't talked to you in a couple of years. I'm so excited that you were able to join us tonight.
Well, Happy New Year, Chris. And, yeah, California was the fifth state to allow it. Now New York is the sixth, although in California we can't, throw grandma into the garden yet until 2027 because it's California and everything takes longer to figure out the bureaucracy.
Yeah, it seems so strange to me that they would pass a law that I don't think it's that difficult to understand. I don't know it's not like implementation would take that long. I mean, you're composting a human body after they die. We're talking about, what is this? It's called terramation, and am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, you are. And it started in Washington State in 2018. That was the first state to legalize it. And so they have a few of them in Seattle. That's where I went. I wrote the story for my Substack, janewells.substack.com. Yes, there's a plug. To a place called Return Home, and the entrepreneur who decided this isn't green industry that he can make scale and be profitable in is named Micah Truman. And I went into his facility and they have, basically it works like this, Chris. It's a little bit faster than just digging a hole in the ground and throwing you in it and covering it up. What they do is they put you in a container with a lot of alfalfa straw and sawdust, like you would compost materials. And it's two parts more organic material to one part human. And then that allows the microbes naturally in your body to heat up to almost 170 degrees. And so you start decomposing.
Wow.
Pretty quickly. Yeah. They put in a little trickle of air, so there's a little air circulation so it doesn't overheat. And after about 30 to 60 days, it's a moist dirt except for the bones and teeth. And, oh, look, there's an implant. So they take that out. They, they turn the bones into shards like they do at a crematorium, and they put them back in the soil. And another 30 days later, the microbes eat the bones, and you end up with about 250 pounds, because remember you had all that straw and sawdust too.
Oh, yeah.
250 pounds of, like, I saw it. It's like mulch you get when you go to the nursery. You know, you open a bag of mulch, and
yeah,
it's a little bit moist, and it's very, dirt-like, and it doesn't smell, and that's what you get.
Okay, so I'm fascinated by this, Jane. First question, what led you to want to do this story? Because it's wildly interesting, don't get me wrong, but it is a little out there. I mean, what was the impetus to start this one?
Well, I always look for weird entrepreneurs doing unusual businesses who have no experience in them and do it from nothing. And this guy, Micah Truman, was an investment banker in China, of all places. And he came back to Seattle where he went to high school in 2014. And he wanted to start something, but he wanted it to be truly green, not some sort of BS green like carbon credits or whatever.
Yeah,
and he wanted it to be profitable. And he raised $3 million from investors, and it, there's still in startup mode. They They did 75 bodies in 2022. He expects to double that this year. It's about $5,000 a body. Unless you are a child, the service he will do the service for free. And they've had some children. Mm-hmm. He didn't expect all the – I don't know what he expected starting a funeral business, but a lot of things surprised him. Like, for example, let me tell you, families want to show up during the 60-day process to hang out. So he had to redecorate the place and set up chairs.
Okay, but when he's composting them, they're going into some sort of a container, right? So this isn't like the composting barrels I buy at Home Depot and have to spin once a week, is it?
Well, that's interesting. You should mention that. So you're in a sealed container. They call it a vessel, and in the back, he showed me. I wasn't allowed to videotape it. He has this proprietary machine he had designed to construct it, which does exactly that. It will pick up the vessel and spin it around to rotate the contents inside, just like the drum at home.
Okay, interesting. How big is the vessel? I mean, does the body lay flat, or do you? I mean, I don't mean to be too graphic here, Gene, but I'm curious.
No.
Do you have to fold the body to put it in? I mean, is it like a casket barrel, or what? How does it work?
You know, it kind of reminded me of a basement freezer you might have, which is funny because in every horror movie ever, somebody's in the basement freezer.
Yeah.
But it's pretty large because some people are very large, and that's another thing he didn't realize is that, and this is another weird, it's counterintuitive to me, the leaner you are, the longer it takes for your body to break itself down. Now, I don't know why, maybe
really?
You have fewer microbes or the fat content helps, but he's had children who are, 70 pounds, and he's had people who are 400 pounds, and he didn't expect that it would be. He has to account for that now in the organic material and other things, and making sure this process still happens.
So Jane Wells is joining me. She's done the story, and you find it at janewells.substack.com, and I love it, Jane.
Thank you.
Talking about human composting, and we ran across a story about New York becoming the sixth state to legalize it. California legalized it, but as Jane pointed out, it's going to take until the 27th before we're allowed to actually do it. I guess you still have to throw people in a blue barrel and into a hole in your backyard in the time being. But then, Jane, as people go and they want, you said that the family members want to visit during the process. So, I mean, are they just sitting in a warehouse looking at the compost vessel?
Look at you. Yes, they can put photographs on it. And I saw that some have mementos. One group of people came in and had a pizza party, sort of a wake. And these are things Micah didn't expect. Also, get ready to have your socks blown off. Some families now, and who knows until you're in that position, would like to help prepare the body. So they now ask them, would you like to wash the loved one's hair? Would you like to help us prepare the body for this? And at first, Micah, that's disgusting. But now he gets it. He gets it. I mean, we've been so separated by the traditional funeral industry about the mystery of what the process is. A few hundred years ago, you lay grandma out on the table in the front parlor, this whole separation is a relatively new phenomenon, and we've forgotten to even, we don't even want to be part of the process, let alone know how to ask to be part of it.
So does he just offer that up now as people come in and they make arrangements? Does he say, listen, if you want to, if you'd like to come back and visit, if you'd like to be a part of this, then, here's our schedule. This is how it works.
Yes. Yes, he is all about transparency. They're in startup mode. A lot of people say, I want to do this. But then when it comes right down to somebody dying, they're like, we this is too new, or we're going to do the cremation or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's trying to be as transparent and out there. And he's not the only one, but he's the most vocal one of like, this is part of life. This is how it works. This is something you should consider because it's good for the planet.
Okay, so once a body is composted, then what happens to it? Can those same people come back and say, I want grandma for the garden? She loved, marigolds, and I want to make her part of our marigold garden?
Yes. Whose mother he had composted. You can, again, I said it's 250 pounds. It comes in 10 bags. Now, most families don't want all of that. So they can take as much as they want and give it out to loved ones and friends and put it in the garden. The guy interviewed said he's putting it in his garden, but not in the vegetable garden, if you get my meaning.
Got it.
And the rest that people don't want, they have to sign off for it to be commingled with the compost of other people in this 8-acre woodland that Micah has outside of Seattle, which is a very beautiful spot. I mean, it's just, it's sort of like everything old is new again this way, you know?
It really is, because as I was reading your story, Jane, I was thinking, well, that really is ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right? I mean, you really are being returned to where you came from, and it's sort of bizarre. I mean, when you really break it down, right? It's a little bizarre that we don't have more of this, because this is, you're right, what's old is new again. But I guess we're so ingrained with some of that other, you know, the more traditional ways, whether it's a burial or a cremation or whatever else it is. All right, so I guess the question I have to follow up then, Jane, is, are you planning on this, or are you not yet convinced?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good.
After, you know, because there's, when you do a cremation, which was my original plan, there's a lot of fuel that gets burned, and I don't know. Somehow I just like the idea of being in there with a bunch of straw, and you turn me on. I don't know. It's who knows? I'll be dead. What do I care?
Yes.
But I think I don't know. My kids will figure that out when it comes time. But yeah, I like the idea of going this way. What about you?
I'm 100% with you. You nailed it. Like, I'm gone. What do I care? I've always said, just, you know, cremate me, sprinkle my ashes somewhere. You know, if I'm memorable enough, then, I don't know, start a webpage or something. But I'm kind of with you on this, where I'm like, well, forget burning me and spreading ashes. Just spread me out and make me useful, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm 100%. And then if you want to have the, you know, the Jane Wells Memorial Garden, that's fantastic. Let's do that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, maybe I'll keep plants alive more when I'm dead than I do now while I'm alive.
We'll see if your green thumb is a curse from God, or if it's just your talent. Right. Jane Wells, I love talking to you. Happy New Year. So great having you on the program tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. Happy New Year to you.
All right. Take care. And, you know, be well. Hopefully we don't have to have this conversation about you or I for a very long time. Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
All right. Things are going downhill for one state in the Midwest. It stinks to be in Ohio. We'll tell you why next. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere in your iHeartRadio app. Sucks to be in Ohio. I love that. If you haven't been keeping up on some of the internet trends, we know Florida is always a punchline, right? Ohio is getting there. As someone who grew up in Michigan and is still a University of Michigan fan, I couldn't be happier. In Ohio, they just legalized sports gambling. Now, why is this of note? First of all, Ohio State had their big football game the day before sports gambling became legal. Otherwise, many more Ohioans would have probably bet their trailers on that game and then lost. But here's the other notable part. There was a very famous, and you probably recall this, a very famous case about gambling in Ohio that ruined one of the most popular, well-known careers in sports history. Pete Rose, the all-time Major League Baseball hit king, got a lifetime ban because he was betting on games that he managed. Well, life has a funny way. The Hard Rock Casino in Ohio invited Pete to place the very first legal sports bet in the history of the state. So that law goes into effect January 1. Hard Rock says, Pete, we got to have you here. Pete Rose says, I'll be there. And sure enough, he places the very first legal sports bet in Ohio. I got to tell you this. I met, coincidentally, Pete Rose at a casino in Las Vegas a few years back. And by met, I mean I was with a group of guys, and we paid for one of the guys to have an autograph and all that stuff. We all had our photo taken with Pete, one big group photo. Okay, so it wasn't like I ran into Pete and said, hey, Pete Rose. It was more like he said, hey, give us $200, and we did. So coincidentally, at a casino. He was leaning in so hard to the whole gambling angle. He's at the casino. I mean, his book is about gambling. He's like, you know,
when he signs autographs, it's little plays on words about betting and things like that. So he's leaned into that in recent years. And then we'll turn around and ask the commissioner, whenever there's a new commissioner of baseball, hey, you think you could lift the ban on me? But then he goes back and he leans into the whole gambling thing. And I got to tell you, I think he's made pretty good money doing it. Probably not the kind of money he would have made if he'd have retired as a Hall of Famer and all the things that go with that. But he's done okay in his retirement years. He certainly has. With the new year, so many people believe, oh, we're going to kiss away the old one and the new one's coming and it's going to be so much better. There's a study out. In fact, I think Mark was talking about this in the news earlier. There's a study out that says 57%. Yeah, so more than half of Americans expect for this year, 2023, to be better than 2022. I have to believe that this survey is probably one you could run every single year. For whatever reason, we get to the end of a year and we say, this year was terrible. This year sucked. Oh, next year's going to be better. But well, we're going to get to the end of 2023 and it's going to suck just as bad as this one. However, there are a few people that said it was okay, which is good. 57% said that this year is going to be better than last year. 45% said the same thing for this year, but it only turned out to be true for 32%. So what does that mean? Nearly half as many people last year said 2022 would be better, and only a third actually found it better. A third of Americans already have their resolutions planned out. They're going to make small incremental changes as opposed to major ones, but most are going to do a little bit of both. In other words, they're going to quit smoking and stop kicking the dog. Yeah, two lofty goals. They're fighting through it. Good on you. It just, one third of Americans said that they had a great year in 2022. There you go. Isn't it always what you make of it? I can tell you, I look back and I've had some years that I go, wow, that one really stands out. That was a great year. And good things happened. Maybe you started a new job. Maybe you graduated from college. Maybe you had a baby. Maybe you got married, whatever else it is. But you probably can look back and also think that same year, and I find that the years I always think were good were the ones that were very full, had a lot of things going on. You know, I had this happen and that happened. I moved. I had a girlfriend or, whatever it was. A lot of things were happening all at once. But there were also some pretty sour moments in those years. And for whatever reason, those years that stand out to me as being good years, maybe I'm unique, but I don't think so. I think you and I are probably very similar. Those years that stood out to me as being good years, I also vividly remember some of the rotten stuff. Whereas the years that are somewhat forgettable, I kind of look back on and I go, I don't really remember much of what went on. It's almost as though the highs we have are accentuated by the lows. It doesn't usually go the other way around. If it's a year that is memorable, I think we think of it as a good year. But not always the other way around. What was that, Eric? We got...
Hey now.
What? Do I hear a ding-dong?
Hey now, ding-dong.
Oh, there he is!
Come on!
Tim Conway Jr.
Let's go, Chris. Come on, man. Look at you, buddy. Man.
I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you very much.
I was doing everything I could not to chase people away last week, Tim, and I opened every show by saying, Tim's coming back.
There you go.
Tim's coming back.
I'm not going to ask you how your vacation was because that just opens up where I can tell you about mine. I'm sure you're not that interested. So,
go on.
I don't like when people say that. You know, when they say, how was your New Year's? I'm like, look, I'm married with a kid. How do you think it went?
Yeah, we were in bed by 9:30.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course,
it was. Trying to hide the dogs away from the fireworks all night,
yep.
And that's a run. That's all Burbank has to offer. we have an update on Jeremy Renner. He's out of surgery after suffering blunt chest trauma and injuries from an accident. I guess with a snowplow. But I'm not a big Hollywood guy. I'm embarrassed to say I did not know who that was.
Come on.
Come on.
Now I know who it is. Through a lot of embarrassment.
He's a good dude.
He's great, man. I love
him. He's not just a celebrity. He's a good dude.
That's right. He's a really good guy. Yeah. Small plane with four aboard makes an emergency landing on Route 66 in the Cajon Pass. Also, we'll have the latest on the Rose Bowl parade, you know, the shenanigans that went on there. It seemed like a pretty uneventful day in Pasadena. And thank God it didn't happen on, you know, Saturday when it was drenching. You know, it was pouring like cats and dogs. And man, that could have wiped out the parade.
And it would have smeared all the dog poop, too.
That's right.
The horse poop, right? It would have made it a whole lot easier to shovel that up.
Yeah. And then the NASCAR float won the big prize there. NASCAR was it's always forward has won the most outstanding national treasure and tradition for the Rose Bowl. So there you go. Yeah. And then people are going to go see them. You know, I don't know if you've ever done that where you go see the Rose Parade floats.
Yeah, that's thrilling.
Have you gone to do that?
No.
Yeah, I can't get it up for that either, man.
I can't. No.
Yeah.
I'll go watch parades, but I can't mull around thinking about how the parade was started. I'd rather go watch a Jeremy Renner film.
Right. But think about the crew that you're going to run into, you know, who's going to the, those are the people that didn't get up for the parade.
Right.
And they slept through the parade, but they want to go still go see the floats up close and personal.
Those people.
Now,
They're just not even committed.
You have to be with kids. If you have kids, take them. That's great. But if you're an adult, single adult going to see that, something's going on with you.
That's creepy. Yeah.
Something's going on. Yeah, well, it's like, you know, when you go to Disneyland or Wolf Lodge, every kid is smiling and not a single adult is smiling. You know, it's for the children, these floats. It's not for grown people. It's just not.
No, 100%. 100% true.
And then I got you may not know a victim of the Southwest debacle over the vacation.
So you do now.
I got completely hosed in the biggest possible way by Southwest.
Oh.
Stranded, left to fight on my own, they lost the luggage, had to rent a car, couldn't get the, you know, we flew out on December 22nd and they canceled that flight and they rebooked us for the 25th at 6:45 p.m., then the 26th, then the 27th.
Come on.
I would have been in Sacramento for the 22nd, 3rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th of December. That's where Southwest wanted me.
At what point do you just say, I'll just drive up there?
That's what I had to do. But good luck getting a rental car. Everybody got the rental cars, and you have to have four-wheel drive up there because of all the ice and snow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy,
point.
Man. Yeah.
All right.
Nice to hear your voice. Nice to see you,
too, buddy.
And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, pal. Thank you, Conway Jr.
Ding dong.
Ding dong, my friend. The best show on the RADIO starts in just moments. Chris Merrill in for John and Ken. A pleasure being with you. Happy New Year. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on your iHeartRadio app.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.